WORT local news podcast. Subscribe on iTunes Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Up next is Query, followed by This Way Out. Good night.
I'm Governor Evers, and I'm listening to WORT Madison.
Do you find yourself provoking conversations with your friends and coworkers? Are you a strong listener? Then you should consider applying to become the next host of A Public Affair, WORT's daily hour-long call-in talk program. We're now accepting applications for this volunteer position. The next host will be the voice of Tuesday's show and join a stellar lineup of folks who engage listeners in conversations on social, cultural, and political issues of importance every day of the week. We're looking for someone who is curious and well-informed, comfortable speaking on air, someone who can think on their feet, and has at least 5 hours a week to prepare and host the show. To find out more information or apply, go to WORTFM.org/talkhost.
Hi friends, we have an event announcement for you. Out Professional Engagement Network, or OPEN, is a Madison-based nonprofit that welcomes all LGBTQIA2S+ humans and allied individuals. They are a community-centered and career-driven individuals who are committed to building equitable and inclusive experiences, workplaces, events, and opportunities within the community. OPEN started in 2006 as a grassroots effort by Madison area LGBT leaders. Originally named Out Professional Executive Network, the group has repositioned itself to Out Professional Engagement Network to intentionally include everyone in the workforce. OPEN's work towards a diverse and inclusive community continues, and on Wednesday, April 23rd, from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock p.m., at the Goodman campus of Madison College, OPEN will be hosting their annual LGBTQIA+ Affirming Career Fair. OPEN's Career Fair is dedicated to fostering inclusive workplaces that celebrate diversity and amplify all LGBTQ+ voices. This free event for job seekers provides a unique opportunity to connect with inclusive employers committed to professional development and equity. Some of the key features of the event are inclusive employers, meet organizations that prioritize diversity and inclusion, Chrysalis Clothing, Sherm Foundation, IBEW Local 159, Agrace, UW Health, MyVA Rocks, Madison Women in Tech, MSCR, Operation Fresh Start, Unity Point Health Meritor, and WORT Community Radio. OPEN's website, openmadison.org, has all of the information that employers or job seekers need to present or attend this event. We hope to see you there. Hello, friends, and welcome. It's time for Query, Madison's longest-running radio show dedicated to LGBTQ issues. I'm your host, Vicki Kenyon, and I use she, her pronouns. As a note to listeners, tonight's episode of Query was pre-recorded yesterday prior to any election results, and that is why Mark Pocan and I did not talk about those results. Tonight we are joined by Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman Pocan took the seat vacated by Tammy Baldwin when she became a senator. He was sworn in as a U.S. representative for Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District in 2013, following 14 years in the Wisconsin State Assembly. A small business owner, union member, and advocate for progressive causes, Representative Pocan fights for policies that promote economic and social justice and the support of families in South Central Wisconsin. In the 118th Congress last year, he served on the House Appropriations Committee, where he sat on the Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education Subcommittee, and the Financial Services and General Government Subcommittee, and the Task Force on Agriculture and Nutrition in the 21st Century. He was chair of the Equality Caucus, co-chair of the Labor Caucus, and chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Mark grew up in Kenosha and moved to Madison to attend school at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and that's what got him here to the 2nd Congressional District of Wisconsin. Thank you, Mark, for joining us tonight. We appreciate your time. First, I want you to tell me about this new Trans Day of Visibility yesterday. Y'all sent a press release out about the Transgender Healthcare Access Act. This is an important thing going on. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, I mean, in general right now, you know, Congress and unfortunately many state legislatures with a Republican majority are, you know, incredibly unsupportive of the trans community in many cases, you know, really victimizing them and demonizing them in ways that are done for political purposes. And it's really unconscionable. So what we were trying to do is put something positive forward, something that would, you know, let people realize that there are people who care. There are people who want to make sure we're supportive. And despite the fact that in this Congress, nothing good will happen, we can still advocate for policies that are inclusive and supportive and to show that, you know, it's not America that doesn't care. It's really, unfortunately, some politicians.
Right, right. This is a really nice, nicely written Healthcare Access Act. Like you said, the chances of it passing are slim, but I think it's an important thing to think about. Talk to me about your thoughts on marriage equality. Where do you think we're headed with that?
Well, you know, I think we're waiting to see what else the Trump administration may do. You know, Project 2025 appears to be the blueprint for what they're doing. They've started with going after federal employees. Just about everything that's in Project 2025 in that area is happening, fortunately. Much of what they're doing is illegal. And I think now we've had over 50 court adjudications ruled in our favor. So the good news is the legal system works. Even Trump-appointed judges are ruling against the illegality that is in Project 2025. But I do think we have to look at however Project 2025 addresses the LGBTQI plus community. We have to assume there could be some issues trying to, you know, moving through Congress and through this executive branch that relate to those goals in Project 2025.
Yeah. I mean, they laid it out ahead of the election, and it's happening.
Yeah, you know, I did 6 town halls around the state trying to make people aware, and I think, you know, even I'm surprised at how fast they've taken to it and started moving things forward. So, you know, the good news is we largely have a plan other than Social Security. They were silent on that purposely, and
yeah.
You see some and I think some foreshadowing of attacks, but everything else so far is largely out of Project 2025.
So you mentioned town halls. Can you talk about your absent GOP town halls? It's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, common sense says if you're proud of something you're doing, you'd want to get on the rooftop and shout about it.
Right.
And they're all hiding in their basements and not doing town halls. So, you know, I've been one of the kind of the first folks here, I guess, doing this, and now we've got 20 or 30 of us, you know, going into Republican districts and doing town halls. You know, our job is really at its core taking the views of our district to Washington and explaining Washington back home. And if you don't do town halls, you're not doing the most fundamental basics of your job. So, you know, I've gone to places like Viroqua in Derek Van Orden's district, and it's, you know, community of 4,500 people, 300 to 400 people show up, right? And
right.
We ask them, are you a George Soros-funded person? Because that's kind of the lame line that comes from some Republicans. And, of course, no one is. These are community people who are concerned about cuts to Medicaid, which is health care and long-term care, cuts to education, cuts to food assistance, cuts to programs that benefit the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class, all so that they can get $4.5 trillion for a tax break for Elon Musk and Donald Trump. So I think these times are anything but normal. Doing things maybe a little bit not normal are good. And if I have to do town halls in a neighboring district in addition to mine, you know, I'm fine with doing that. And I think more and more members are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it does seem to be catching on. I was the first one you did, I think, was in Belmont, Wisconsin, and the attendance number was crazy. There was almost 1,000 people there.
Yeah, now that one was interesting because we did it at the edge of my district, but there were 10,000 people 7 minutes away in Derek Van Orden's district. Mine, there's only 1,000 people in all of Belmont, you know, in the community that we did it at. So I think, you know, doing this type of either at the edge of a district or in another district to raise awareness is really key. And the media has been showing up, and rightfully so, people have been showing up. I mean, they want to be heard. We've had record levels of calls and emails to the office, and I've been in office over 12 years at the federal level. People are rightfully so concerned, some cases frightened, emotions. So I think, you know, we're doing what we can to be helpful.
So, Mark, I know you're pressed for time this morning, as usual. That's good. That means you're busy. Is there anything specific you want to say that I might not be asking you about?
No, I just think people should realize in the month of April, it is likely they could vote on the cuts to Medicaid, to food assistance, to subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, to education funding, because that's been the goal. Donald Trump wanted to do it in his first 100 days, and we're reaching the end of that 100 days. So now is the time to be active and to reach out to your elected officials, because if we put pressure on our elected officials to actually listen to us, you won't cut things that people benefit from. 1.3 million people in Wisconsin receive help from Medicaid. One out of three kids gets their health insurance from Medicaid in Wisconsin. 55% of seniors in nursing homes, including my mom, get their help before she passed from Medicaid when they're in a nursing home. So these are real things that really affect people, and we need to speak out. We need to know that politics is not a spectator sport, and calling your representative in Congress as well as your two senators is really key more than ever.
Lots of us think the presidential election is the most important election, and while it is important, because of the way things have played out, local elections, school boards, judges are becoming more and more important, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in places like Madison, you can be laboratories for good public policy because you have good elected officials. And even in the state of Wisconsin, we have a good governor who can do things where the legislature maybe can't intervene that can help people when we've got a federal government right now that's hurting people. So it really does matter. If people have ever thought politics doesn't matter to them, hopefully this is the wake-up period to realize why it does matter. We're watching these attacks, especially on the trans community right now, that are just vulgar, really, is the only way to describe them. You know, the Republican governor of Utah vetoed a bill that their legislature passed that was going to ban trans girls from participating in sports. And his reasoning, I thought, you know, was just so honest, and I wish more Republicans could be honest. There are, out of 75,000 kids in the K-12 system in Utah that are in organized sports, three were trans and one was a trans girl.
Wow.
So literally, legislature is passing a law affecting one girl in sports. But he also mentioned that's a suicidality rate for many LGBTQ teens, especially trans teens, is up as high as 80%. People think about it because of adults bullying them. So when the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Nancy Maces and I guess formerly the Matt Gaetzes and other people who aren't the sharpest crayons in the box come up with these ideas in order to appeal to their base, they actually hurt real people. And we need more governors and state legislatures and local elected officials to recognize that. Fortunately, in Wisconsin, we have a good governor and we have places like Madison that can do good things, but those elections mean all the more because of it.
You must be exhausted and frustrated most of the time, but I want to say on behalf of those in your district, we appreciate you so much.
Thanks.
And we want to say thank you for all the work you're doing. And I know, go ahead.
People know, concerned as you all are, and
yeah.
I at least have a vehicle and I can, you know, go and do a town hall to show that. But if people can contact their reps, they can join the rallies, they can support the groups that are doing litigation right now, because that's where we're winning right now, over 50 legal cases. And if you can communicate against the disinformation that's out there, because it is disinformation, not misinformation, that's how we win, and we all do this together. And I am confident we're going to come out of this stronger, but it's always ugly during the period that you've got this kind of thing, these kind of things happening.
Yeah, it is. It's overwhelming. So, Mark, give us a final message. What can we do to make an impact?
Yeah, so I think at the federal level in particular, it's litigation and communication. So support the groups doing the litigation. If you Google Trump litigation tracker, there's several that'll show you all the lawsuits that are out there and find the groups that are fighting for what you care about. And then communication, you know, fight against this disinformation. Share information from myself and Tammy Baldwin and others who you like what they have to say, because we can put the real facts out there about what's going on, that they are trying to cut Medicaid, that they are going after Social Security, the things that people really count on. And I think by doing that, we'll wake people up to what's actually happening. You know, we're all in this together. Some of us are fortunate to have a seat at the table, but honestly, without the grassroots activism, we're not so powerful in getting things done. And it's a continuous operation inside and outside of places like the U.S. Capitol that we win on.
Yeah, I think people have been overwhelmed by the executive orders and all the things coming from the top. And then when you look at the results in the courts, that's encouraging. And when you talk to or you hear people talking about it, I've heard Republicans recently saying, I'm a Republican, I'll always be a Republican, but I do not agree with what's going on in the current administration. And I think that's probably not an uncommon thought.
Yeah, and you know, the problem is Republican elected officials are afraid to speak out.
Right.
Just pulled by one Democratic senator, some of these awful cabinet picks, there were at least four Republicans that would have voted against them. But, you know, I'm used to getting death threats, honestly. That's part of what you unfortunately get when you run for office. But their family members were getting death threats. And, you know, when that happens, they just couldn't stand up. And unfortunately, there's not going to be a lot of chapters of Profiles of Courage added in this next 2 years.
Right.
Republicans, but, you know, we can speak out and we can fight against this. If the people lead, eventually the leaders will follow. While it sounds like a bumper sticker, and I've actually printed it on a bumper sticker in the past, it's also really true. And we have far more power than we may think. And if we collectively do these things, we have even more power.
Yeah, it's encouraging to see the amount of people that are showing up to protests and demonstrations. And the hearings in Madison recently in regards to some transgender legislation, I'm sure you saw that little clip of our friend Larry, who had shown up at the Capitol intending to make a statement for the anti-trans legislation. And while he waited for his turn to speak, he had a chance to engage with some of the LGBT, queer, and trans folks who were there and totally changed his mind. That's the impact, one person at a time, right? Speaking up, speaking out, and really just having kind conversations makes such a difference.
And we have a record number of out elected officials in the state legislature right now.
Yeah.
Across the state, not just places like Madison and Milwaukee. And, you know, representation matters. Voting matters. All of our active participation in democracy matters. And, you know, this is a dark period at the federal level. But remember, last time Trump was president, 90% of what he said never happened, right? Because he
deviates
a lot. This time, it's probably going to be 75% will never happen. We're probably not going to annex Greenland. Canada will probably not become the 51st state, right? Some of these things are just ridiculousness. The art of our job is to figure out what 25% they're actually going to do. And we're seeing some of it happen right now. So the more we fight now, the less likely we are to be on the menu.
I like that. The more we fight now, the less likely we are to be on the menu. Can we end there?
Sounds good to me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today, Mark. Congressman Pocan, on behalf of the LGBTQIA plus community in Wisconsin and nationally, I want to say thank you for the work that you do and for standing up as one of us and with us. I'm sure there's days when you would rather just pull the covers up over your head. And while I do hope that you take days like that every once in a while, we appreciate your efforts. Being vocal feels and often is very risky to a lot of us in the community, but it's also the only way to communicate with both constituents and the so-called leaders of our nation. I want to say thank you one more time. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you to your husband for sacrificing time with you, because I know that the work you do is so important to us here in Madison and throughout the state. Finally, a giant thank you to Katie for making us sound great tonight as always, and thank you, listeners, for joining us on tonight's query. Next up, please stay tuned for this week's edition of This Way Out, and remember that you are loved and you are cared for by all of your friends here at Query and on WORT now and always. Good night.
I'm MK Zariel, and I write very trans poetry, and as the internet's weird anarchist friend, I'd be honored to share some of it with you. Please join me on WORT's Access Hour, the night of April 7th, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, for some readings from my self-published zines and literary magazine collaborations. These poems will be interspersed with my musical inspirations, all songs by queer liberationist indie artists, and are perfect for anyone who loves anarchism, neuroqueer media, the bashback tendency, references to obscure gay liberationist texts, youth liberation, weird synesthetic imagery, all of the above, or none of the above, or everything. I can't wait to radicalize you. Thank you so much to Candy for Trees for creating the background music of this promo, and thanks to WORT for being awesome.
If I had walked in one of my children's bedrooms and seen this child predator targeting my children, I would become unglued.
The thought that any of us are out here to harm children rather than to foster their imagination and creativity is honestly shameful and disgusting on her part.
I'm living proof that introducing your kids to the